Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Ever since I was a little girl, my mom taught me a very important principle. She ingrained it in my mind that when you have a house, you should always be ready for guests or a visitor to show up at any moment. In other words, the rooms that a guest or visitor might suddenly show up in, you want it to look clean and put together. And so sure enough, when my husband and I became homeowners, I became a little bit fanatical about this process. In fact, there have been times where it's been late at night where my husband is urging me to maybe let it go just a little bit, that it would be okay to go to bed with dishes in the sink. And sometimes he likes to mess with me a little bit because I'm so fanatical about it that the pillows have to be in the exact spot where they belong. Even the placemats on the kitchen table need to be exactly lined up with one another in a perfect square and circle. And so sometimes he likes to mess with me and shift the placemat or a little, or move a pillow into a different spot to see if I notice or to see if I'm able to go to bed like that. And so he never gets by me, by the way. And so over the last few years, and especially when we started having children and I went through the nesting phase when I was pregnant, it's just gotten worse and worse and worse. And I've become quite passionate about having a clean house, except for one very important place. You see, if you were to walk into my home, you would think maybe my home does look pretty good and pretty clean. But if you were to make your way up the stairs and past the toy room and into our bedroom, you might find yourself a little horrified. There is nothing that I despise more than putting away laundry. So usually, if you were to come to my house, you will notice that our bedroom door is closed. And you see, keeping a clean bedroom and keeping a clean house became even more challenging when we had children. Children like to destroy houses. And children take time. So it makes it incredibly challenging to keep up with the house chores, especially as a student and a working mom. And so when our firstborn son, Caleb, was born, it seemed like my whole entire cleaning system was blown up into shreds, and I lost my whole entire process. Well, at about 4 months old, my husband and I, Jeff, decided to go on our first date. And the babysitter that we invited to come over to our house was a 16-year-old girl who didn't have a lot of experience with babies, so her mother decided to join her. Well, there's something you should know about this mother. She is one of those clean people that likes to see lines in the carpet. She is one of those people that confesses to vacuuming twice a day and vacuuming her couches so her couches have zigzags in them all the way across. Now, I'm not that extreme, but when I found out that she was coming over, I panicked. And I cleaned the whole downstairs, and I prepared for her to come, and I shut the bedroom door. Now, let me describe the scene of our bedroom a little bit. I mentioned that I hated putting away laundry, but if you were to walk into our bedroom on that specific date night, you would have found a pile of clean laundry, a mountain of clean laundry on our bed, and then you would not have been able to see the carpet because the dirty laundry would have been all over. And then behind our lampstand were dust balls about that size because it had been quite a while since I had dusted, for after all, I was a nursing mom and just a little bit busy. But I felt okay with this because I thought surely they won't go up into our bedroom. So Jeff and I left the house, and we came back after a wonderful date night of enjoying ourselves, and I came down, and the mother, Kathy, says to me, she says, "The baby monitor went dead, so we had to go search in your bedroom for the charger." Oh, really? I thought. Like, you had to search through our stuff. Yeah, we couldn't really find it, so we had to, like, look through the clothes, and we had to, like, look behind, and I thought, oh, you probably saw my dust balls, and I could just feel myself shrinking. We all have our hidden messes that we store away for no one to see, don't we? We all have this fear of being found out, for other people to see our darkness, to see our mess. For somehow, our culture has gotten into the business of image management, myself included. We keep our messes tucked away and hidden to never see the light of day, and especially for those around us to see them. We are afraid of being found out, and so we protect our own personal images with all that we have and all that we've got, and we hide away, we shove away our darkness and our struggles for no one to see, for fear of being found out. For sometimes in our culture, our own personal image takes the highest priority. It takes the front seat. And we protect it to our best ability. And as a result of keeping all of our flaws, all of our shortcoming, and all of our struggles, and all of our sins hidden, tucked away in our closets for no one to see, for no one to know about, we might find ourselves stuck. Maybe you know what I mean. For when we have a struggle in our life, when we have an ugly spot in our life that we want to get rid of, that we want to break free from, that we want to move past from, but instead of telling anyone about it, instead of seeking help, we keep it hidden away. Because if someone knew about it, then we might get found out. If someone knew about our darkness, if someone knew about our struggles, if someone knew about our sins, then what would they think about me? What would be their response? And as a result, I believe this morning that this business of image management is one of the greatest roadblocks to authentic community. Let me say that again. This business of image management, I believe, is one of the greatest hindrances and one of the greatest roadblocks to real, authentic community. Now, if you haven't been with us over the last 5 weeks, we have been digging deep into a series called Life Together. And we began with 5 weeks ago at the beginning of September with a message called Community 101, where we talked about when we come together in unity as a people of God, we bear the image of God in this world. And then Pastor Steve talked us through there's beauty in brokenness. And he talked about how all of us are cracked pots. And that when we compare ourselves to one another, we feel inferior and discouraged, and we think other people aren't cracked and we are. But instead, God can use our brokenness in the community. And then last week, we talked about humility in community, that pride is one of the greatest destructive forces to unity and community. But when our gaze is on Jesus, when we are totally focused on Him, then the fruit of that is humility. And the fruit of that is unity. And today I'd like to talk about what it means to have a genuine breakthrough into authentic community. And I believe this happens when we stop protecting our own personal images with everything that we have. When we get into the business of image management and we break free from that, then I believe we can start to see who we really are as a community. And this happens in genuine confession and accountability. Now, some of you, when you hear that word confession and accountability, you squirm a little bit in your seats. You get a little bit uncomfortable when you hear those words, especially for some of those of you who might have a Catholic history. You have this image in your mind of standing before a closed and dark room with a priest on the other side of the wall who told you to do some form of penance in the form of prayers after you make your confession. And others of you might react against that and think, well, confession doesn't need to include other people. My confession can just stay between me and God. No one else needs to know my struggles. For when I struggle with something, I'll bring it to God. I'll bring my list to Him and I'll say, God, I really messed up. I'm really sorry about this. I confess it to You. I don't need to share it with others. And see, the reaction against this confession with another person results in us coming together as a community of people thinking we come together as a holy, sanctified, pious community, as a holy, sanctified people, but we never come together as sinners. It horrifies us at the thought of coming together with opening up our lives and sharing those warts that haven't seen the light of day in years, or maybe our entire life. It scares us to come together as a holy people, yes, but open up and allow others to see our flaws. Why? Because we've gotten heavily into the business of image management. Because we think that as a holy and sanctified people, that once we surrender to Jesus, all of a sudden we have no faults, we have no struggles. And so therefore, no one else should know about it because then I'll get found out. And so instead, we walk around our entire life keeping it shoved down, deep and hidden, into a place where only we and God know about it. Because if we were to share, we might be weird. If we were to admit our faults, we might be rejected or embarrassed. We might be found out. So we walk through this life keeping it hidden and to ourselves. But when we get into this mentality of thinking that we can only need to bring our confessions before God, we get stuck because it looks something like this. Lord, here it is. I've messed up again. I just can't stop cheating on my tests. I know that I need to stop, so I'm going to confess this to you so I don't feel guilty about it, and I'm going to try really hard not to do it anymore. And we walk away, knowing that we're probably going to struggle again. But there's power when we name it to someone that we trust and love and call it out for what it is. For James chapter 5, 16 says this, one of the only places in the New Testament that talks about confessing our sins says this, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other, so that you may be healed. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. This scripture doesn't say, therefore, confess your sins to God and God alone. It just needs to stay between you and God. But what does it say? Therefore, confess your sins to each other, to one another, and pray for each other. So not only do we confess, but there's a built-in form of accountability, because when we pray for one another, we talk about it and we say, how are you doing with this? How can I be praying for you about this? How is your struggle going? You see, there's some incorrect assumptions about confession. One of the first incorrect assumptions is that confession is just so it can remove guilt. I feel really guilty about this darkness that I kept hidden, so I'm going to go talk to God about it so that way I can relieve the guilt. And the second incorrect assumption is that confession is just and only for forgiveness from God. And if we limit confession to only forgiveness, we are shortchanging our lives, for I believe confession is more than that. Confession is about life change. That when we confess our sins to one another and putting our image on the line and putting our lives on the line, for yes, we will be found out. It just shows that we are serious about life change. I'm reminded of the example of Zacchaeus in the Gospel of Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 9. Listen as I read. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down and at once and welcomed him gladly. Verse 7, all the people saw this and began to mutter, "He's gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord and said, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." Here we have a man that is incredibly wealthy and successful. However, we know the story. We know the story of Zacchaeus, that he was a tax collector and that he had received his money by charging people all the wrong ways, by taking just a little bit off of the top for himself and pocketing it. He was greedy and he was a cheater. And one day, Jesus, as he was traveling on his way into Jericho, he's making his way through a great crowd, and there's this wee little man by the name of Zacchaeus who climbs to the top of the tree just to catch a view of Jesus. And Jesus, "Zacchaeus, come down. I'd like to dine with you." And all the people standing there knew exactly who he was. If Jesus knew, which he did, if Jesus knew what kind of man he is about to dine with, he would not be going, for this man is a sinner. And Zacchaeus, his ears must have been perked, he must have been listening in, and he turns probably for others to see, and he says, "That's it. I'm going to go back to every person that I have cheated and stolen from. And I'm going to give it back to them and then some more." And Jesus looks at him and he says, "Zacchaeus, today salvation has come to your house, for I came to seek and save the lost." There, as Zacchaeus was in the presence of Jesus, light shined into the darkness. And instead of him saying, "Hey, Jesus, come here, I got to tell you something. Come close. Jesus, I've been sinning. Don't tell anyone. Can we just keep this between you and I? See, I've got this problem. I've been stealing from people. So if we just leave it right here and you could just forgive me and I'll just kind of walk away and I'm done with it." But Zacchaeus doesn't do that. He does something for other people to hear, for this story was passed along to people long enough for it to be written down. He displayed his sins before everyone and said, "Hey, I have been stealing. I have been taking money off of the top. And I'm not just looking for forgiveness, but I'm going to go back to each and every person and confess to them that, yes, indeed, I have taken money from them. And I'm going to go back to each and every person and ask for forgiveness and tell them that I've done wrong." Because Zacchaeus wasn't just looking for forgiveness. Zacchaeus was serious about life change. That he didn't care that he was laying his image on the line. He didn't care that he was about to be found out. For this darkness that he kept shoved away his entire life, he was done with it. And he was serious about life change. He was not only convicted of his sin, but he went and he made it right. And you see, I believe that life change, that transformation can only go so far when we keep our struggles just between ourselves and God. Well, I don't know, Tara Beth. What you're saying sounds messy. what you're saying sounds weird. What you're saying makes me uncomfortable. For we live in America, and this is a new culture. We don't share that kind of stuff with other people. It is uncomfortable. It is messy. It requires honesty. It requires total vulnerability. It's hard. It's risky. So we usually avoid it. You see, we live in a world where we try to mask our darkness with all that we have. We mask the ugliness of sin. We cover it up. We bury it 6 feet underground for no one to see because we're ashamed, we're afraid, and we run from the light with all that we have and all that we are. And instead of confessing it to grow and have life change, we go throughout our entire lives like this. We stand among the people that we do life together. And when someone approaches us and says, "Hey, how you doing today? How's life going? I've been praying for you." And you say, "I'm doing great. Life is good. Everything is just hunky-dory." But in reality, this is what's happening. And so when someone that we love and that we've been doing life together approaches us and says, "Hey, how was that family weekend that you asked us to pray for? How did it go? Was your family good?" And we say, "Yes, I had so much fun with my family. I love my family. We just got along so well." But in reality, and so when someone we love that we've been doing life with them, they come to us and they say, "Hey, how was Thanksgiving? Did you have a good time?" We say, "Oh, I loved Thanksgiving. It's my favorite holiday of the year. I just love it." And so when someone comes to us that we've been doing life together and that we love and they say, "Hey, how's your walk with Jesus going? Tell me about your faith." And we look to them with pride and we say, "Man, me and Jesus, we're so tight. I just love him so much." And so when someone we love comes to us, says, "How's it going with your drinking problem?" And we look at them straight dead into the eye and we say, "Great, man, I haven't had a drink an entire year." And so when someone comes to us and they say, "Hey, how are you and your wife doing? How's your marriage going? You guys doing well?" And we say, "Yeah, man, it's great. We're going on vacation soon. It's going to be so awesome." And so when someone comes to us that we love and we've been doing life with them and they say, "Hey, man, how's your job going? Do you like your job? Are you having fun with it?" And we respond and we look at them dead in the eye and we say, "Yeah, I love my job. It's so awesome." And so when someone we love that we've been doing life together and that we should be able to trust comes to us and says, "Hey, man, how's school going?" And we respond, we say, "Yeah, you won't believe this. I made the dean's list. It's awesome." Because we are so consumed, we are so concerned with protecting our image, even with the people that we love. Even the people that we are doing life with. And sometimes, church, becomes our stage where we play let's pretend in front of others. And we deceive ourselves. We get stuck. We stumble. And we play this game with God. We say, it's cool, I've got this praying thing going on where I come to God, I bring my confessions, I bring my list to Him, and it's cool, we've got this cool thing going on, and I leave my confessions with Him. But we might as well just be saying, here you go, God, here's my struggle, please forgive me. I'm going to go back and do it in just a minute, but forgive me anyway. And we walk through our entire lives stuck. Transformation and authentic community happens when we take off our masks around the people that we love, around the people that we trust, around the people that we care about, and we call it out. We name the darkness that is hidden in our hearts. We're able to come to a place and say, I'm not okay. I don't have it together. I need help. I'm sick. I feel alone. I'm struggling with revenge. I'm struggling with gossip. I'm struggling with prejudice. I'm struggling with hatred. I'm struggling with sexual addictions. Because there are sins. There are addictions. There are struggles that we just can't overcome alone. Why? Why? It's not that God isn't a powerful God and that God can set people free from their sins, because I believe that with my whole entire heart, mind, and soul. But it's because God put us into a people of God, into a community where He says, you are my people and I am your God. And you are journeying in this life together. And stop faking it. You see, we've gotten so obsessed with being image protectors. Mark 2:17, Jesus says this. On hearing this, Jesus said to them, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners. We know this verse. We hear about God's grace, but in front of each other, we act very differently. Just about a month and a half ago, I reached a place in my parenting where I knew I needed some support. And so I reached out to Kathy Lowen, and she came to my house, her husband, and met with Jeff and I. And we sat down, and one of the first questions that Kathy Lowen asked me was, tell me your philosophy of parenting. Now, the Naperville mom in me wanted to respond with, oh, well, you know, I have many crafts for my children, and I throw the best birthday parties, and I'm a Pinterest-style mom, you know. I do all sorts of great things for my kids, and I wanted to tout how much of an amazing mom I was and how together I had it. But I knew if I was to be a better parent, I had to lay it all out on the line. And I looked at Kathy, and I said, philosophy? I feel like I'm inconsistent. I feel like sometimes I confuse my kids. I feel like I'm making it up as I go along all of the time. Because I knew if she was going to be able to lead into my life and mentor me, I had to be open and honest and say, I don't have it together as a parent. And since that conversation, Kathy has been texting me and emailing me to hold me accountable. She's been praying for me because she believes so passionately in mentoring young women that she is serious about life change for parents. And that is the beauty of this ministry of growing kids God's way and toddlerhood transitions in this awesome ministry of marriage and family in our church. Because it is an environment in growing kids God's way. It is this environment in toddlerhood transitions where parents can come at a table and say, I don't know what I'm doing. Where parents can say, I yelled at my kid the other day. Where parents can say, I feel inconsistent. Because when we are able to open up and confess to one another our struggles, then that is when the Spirit can really work and the community can really work and hold us accountable, pray for each other, and encourage one another along. It's an opportunity where parents can come as they are. Not behind the mask of Facebook or Pinterest, but come as they are. Because I believe that we will never get where we want to be until we acknowledge where we really are and where we want to go. So my question for you this morning is this. What are you going to do about it? James 1:22 says this, don't just listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, but do what it says. So today we conclude our series Life Together, where we have been talking for 5 weeks about what it means to journey together in life, what it means to be an authentic community. And I wonder, are we going to start doing life together? Next week, October 6th, you've heard this date over and over. Next Sunday night at 5:30 p.m. in the gym, we are launching our brand new ministry, Life Groups. Life Groups is an opportunity for us to do life with other people for a long period of time. Life Groups is a place where we can put aside all of our pretense without fear and rejection. Life Groups is a place where we can come and be accepted for who we are. Life Groups is a place where we can be challenged, held accountable to become everything that God has created us to be. Life Groups is a place where imperfect people can come together, roll back the rocks, show our warts that haven't seen the light of day in a very long time, and discover that we aren't alone in our struggles and that there are other people there to help us to move forward and move past our darkness. Life Groups is a place where we can come together and say, we're all sinners, saved by the very grace of God. And we're so serious about life change. We're so serious about holiness. We're so serious about transformation that we're going to do it together so we confess with one another. We can challenge one another and we can encourage one another. And so there's going to be 7 to 9 brand new life groups launching next Sunday, October 6th, at an event called Group Link. Group Link will be an opportunity for you to come and get linked up with a life group. You can choose the life group that you want to join. And there's going to be many different styles of life groups. There's going to be parenting life groups through Growing Kids God's Way. There's going to be young married couples life group. There's going to be a life group that is focused on fitness, where someone in our congregation has taken a stand and said, I want to help people who feel stuck, who just feel unhealthy. Because I look at this life as mind, body, and soul. And so they're going to meet maybe in a yoga studio where they can encourage and exercise one another in their faith. There's going to be couples small groups, and the list can go on. There's going to be a single parent small group called Unique Parents. There will be so many opportunities for you to come next Sunday night at 5:30. Write it down. Next Sunday night at 5:30 in the gym for you to come and get linked up with the people where you can say, we're committed to life change. We're committed to authentic community. We're committed to unity. We're committed to doing life together. James 1:22. Don't just listen to the word, but do what it says. Are you serious about life change? Let's pray. Thank you that your Holy Spirit has been moving. Thank you that light drives out the darkness. So we ask that your light would fill our hearts so that you could prevail in our lives. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.
Why don't you stand with us one more time today? I have decided.
This morning, if I had one of these cards and I was to write on it, when I stand before you and people ask me, and I say, I am so excited for next Sunday when we go to two services. If I had this card, you know what it would say? I am scared to death. I stand in front of my mirror in the morning and I look at myself and I say, God, I need you to lead us. And my wife comes in and she says, what's wrong? And I said, I'm so scared. And she turns and she walks out of the bathroom. Literally like a second and a half later, she comes whipping back in. And she stands in front of me and she says, did you make this decision or did God? And I said, God made this decision. She said, then let it go. It's in His hands. But it doesn't change the fact that in my humanness, and in an act of confession standing before you, I am scared to death. Because I want to lead in all humility. I want to lead. I want to be a pastor that relies on God to be immeasurably more. Not Steve be immeasurably more. And I'll tell you, this confession thing, there's incredible merit to it. Because as I bear my soul with other people and I confess with them, they confess with me. And as iron sharpens iron, so one believer sharpens another. Oh, this level of authenticity, this level of just being real with each other, it is the desire of my heart. We've been preaching this message for a year and a half. And the amazing thing is, you don't realize how much your story has impacted the ability for people to worship here. Your story, when you're real and authentic with the people around you, there are people that are here because you've done that. You know, the pieces of this pot, I'm preaching. I'm so sorry. Just sit for just a second. There's pieces in this pot that as each one of these pieces, you can see the brokenness in it. The amazing thing about this pot is it's been restored. It might look broken, but God has made it whole. The amazing thing for us to realize this morning as Pastor Tara Beth has brought to us in that act of confession, you can hold the peace to someone else's restoration. By you sharing your story, you can take that peace and say, I am right there with you. And you don't make them whole. Let's get very clear about that. God is the only one that can create wholeness in a person. Amen? But you look through that scripture and you see time and time again, if you want to receive true healing, you go to James 5:16 and it says, confess your sins one to another to be healed. We have a part to play in the wholeness of others. And you know, I know we put a lot of eggs in this October 6th basket. And I'm going to tell you this right now. Your staff is ready for October 6th to come, and we're ready for it to go. Because, man, we have sought the Lord. We have got on our knees. We have read His Word, and I can stand before you in all confidence. This has nothing to do with us. Your church leadership has stood before the Lord, has kneeled before the Lord, has sought His Word, has brought this before God over and over again. And I can tell you with confidence, there is nobody standing here, even in secret, saying, this is going to be awesome. I'm pretty incredible. Instead, we are all saying the same thing. Lord, it's got to be you, because we're not going to be able to do this. We are petrified. But we know our heart's in the right place. And I want to say that with confidence. This October 6th, you know, we're doing group length. It's that 2-hour event in the gym, and it'll be an opportunity for you to connect in with other people doing life together. As Pastor Tara Beth has already said, and I'm just beating a dead horse at this point, you'll be able to connect with people in your same geographic area, so you don't have to travel far to be a part of a group. You can really kind of get into those times when, I'm going to tell you this, as we continue to grow, as the church gets larger, the church has to get smaller. Because as much as I try, and I'm going to tell you this, over the last month and a half, I've been running myself ragged trying to love on all of you. Because I really do love you all. And it's going to kill me. I'm just going to tell you that. We have to care for each other. We have to bear each other's souls and burdens together. Man, I can't tell you enough that we are doing everything we can. We're doing it as if it depends on us, but we're praying knowing it depends on God. And we're doing everything we can. And I'm just going to challenge you this morning. It's time for you to do what you can. It really is. It really is. It's time for you to do what you can, because we can't carry this ball all the, you know, I mean, we just can't do it. It's going to be difficult. God has placed Trinity at this place, at this time, even specifically in this location. Again, I meet with somebody and they say, I drive past your building every week. And for some reason, I drove by and God said, you need to go and worship with those people. That's amazing. God has put us here. And I'm telling you, the level of health in this community, when I say this community, I mean us, the level of health, the level of transparency, the level of authenticity, it's there for a purpose, because broken people are going to be attacked. They're going to be attracted to brokenness when it's okay to not be okay. And for us to be able to say, man, I don't have it all together. But you know what? Together, we have it all. Amen? And it's just being just real and authentic with each other. And I just thank you. And I just want to say thank you to you all for being on this journey with us. Because again, God's doing amazing things. But He also asks us as a body to stand with Him and do amazing things alongside. That we have a part to play in this. Are you excited? I can actually tell you, I'm really excited. But I still got to pick up that board and also confess that I am scared to death. I am just scared. Well, let's end our service this morning. I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. Just go ahead and stand if you would. And just kind of in our prayer time this morning, you kind of just grab the hand of the person next to you. Y'all know I'm a toucher. I'm a hugger. And I know that's going to rub a little. But could you just reach across the aisle? Can we just create one here? You know, in political terms, this would be a beautiful thing, reaching across the aisle. That was bad, wasn't it? That was bad. I apologize. This is the body. All of us together. All of us reaching across, not matter where we stand in this place, but just unifying our hearts together. Somebody this morning prayed in our pastoral prayer time. Somebody prayed, Lord, let next week be the day, or maybe let today be the day, that we can look back 10, 20 years from now and say, that was the day that this church made a commitment a real commitment that God is going to be the Lord not only of our lives, but also of our church. And that I'm going to tell you this right now. We are going to get things wrong. We're going to mess this up sometimes. But we just got to be okay with that. We just got to be okay that it wasn't intentional. And nobody's purposely setting out to make an intentional mistake. Amen? But as we do that together, and as we hold one another, as we trust in each other, and as we confess to each other, also recognizing our confession to the Lord, this is awesome. This is awesome. Let's go to Him. Gracious Lord. Oh, Your Spirit, Lord, guides us in all truth. And Lord, this morning we are reminded that it's Your Spirit that guides us there. And Lord, I thank You so much for the words and the wrestling that You did with Pastor Tara Beth. The anxiety that she felt to make sure that this was about You, Lord. And I thank You that Your Spirit came through. And Lord, whether or not it hit all of us, Lord, I'm thankful that it hit all of us, Lord. Lord, I just pray that we as a body of believers, knowing that there are times that we need to sacrifice. Lord, we need to sacrifice our routine. We need to sacrifice what we like. We need to sacrifice the things that we want. But Lord, when we sacrifice those things, and Lord, You call us to live a life of sacrifice. Lord, may it not be at a sense of not following You. Don't let that get in the way. Don't let the things that we need to let go of stand in the way. Let us let go of them, Lord. Lord, You're calling us to a place where we can be one. One in You, Lord. One in Your death. One in Your resurrection. One as a body of believers. One as a light into this community. One in our schools. One in our colleges. One in our workplaces. One in our homes. One in our worship. Lord, whatever it is, You make us one. Oh, so Lord, we just come and we bow before You right now. In this act of confession as a body of believers together, we confess to You. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn His face towards you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all of God's people together say, Amen and Amen. Thank you for worshiping with us this morning. Go and have an incredible week in the Lord.